Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
B-Mac, how you been?
What's happening, Zach? I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. What is this like for you to see your cousin Patrick Peterson play for your team in the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Man, it's been a surreal moment. The entire process with him signing up to where we are now in the season, you know, just what finishing the third ball game. It's been a surreal moment for me, and the same can be said for him as well, because he's been hearing so much about Pittsburgh, the Steeler culture, the Steeler way throughout his time when he was back in high school, when I was playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he oftentimes say that he was a Pittsburgh Steeler well before becoming one officially. So we've just been enjoying the ride, man, and hopefully this thing can continue to be an exciting opportunity for all parties involved with them winning ball games and, you know, trying to find a way to get to into the playoffs.
This is expected to be a big year for Kenny Pickett. Through three games, what have you seen, and where's your confidence level with number eight?
Well, the first two games, I got to keep it real, Zach. Didn't really see a lot from Kenny Pickett. The same can be said for the entire offense. And we kind of started this. We saw a rhythm established against the Raiders this past Sunday night on that Sunday night opportunity. So hopefully, we can see more of what we saw against the Raiders throughout the rest of the way. I think the expectations were not super high, but people were very, very optimistic about what Kenny could do because he looked so good in the preseason. And then the first ball game against San Francisco looked the total opposite. The same could be said in week two as well against Cleveland. But they found a way to win that ball game. So hopefully Kenny Pickett, man, can continue to establish a sense of a foundational sense there in the offense to generate some positive things similar to what he did against the Raiders.
Yeah, I feel like each and every week, someone says that they're the best defensive player in the sport, you know, whether it's been Aaron Donald or TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa. To you, when you watch these games, when we enter week four of the NFL season, who do you have, Brian McFadden, as the best defensive player in the sport right now?
I got to keep it real with you, and this has no bias tied to my answer. I got to go with the guy who's probably the quietest out of everyone you mentioned, and TJ Watt. I mean, I think he's leading the NFL in sacks right now. Every time there's a big play on the defensive side, he is associated with it. You know, either he's causing the big play or he's the guy who's benefiting from someone else causing the big play, as we saw against the Browns, that big time fumble in the second half that led to a game like winning touchdown, and just how consistent he's been. I mean, in 3 weeks of play, man, his numbers clearly speaks for the argument with him, but then when you watch him, 90 is always around the football.
When you look at Tua Tagovailoa, it's such a feel-good story through the first 3 weeks of the season, Brian McFadden, and we all saw the ugliness of this game last year with the concussions. To see what the Dolphins are doing right now, I can't wait for this game Sunday up against the Buffalo Bills. Like, for me, it's the most intriguing game of the weekend, especially with Buffalo now getting back to where they should be, sitting there at 2-1.
Man, right now, watching the Miami Dolphins is like watching, you know, a 10-year-old play Madden against a 70-year-old. Like, the 70-year-old has no idea on what's going on with the video game, can't stop him. The 10-year-old just laughing, having fun, scoring points after points after points because they are a video game geek. You know what I mean? They love playing video games. That's what it's looking like, you know, with the method offensively that Josh McDaniels has incorporated with his offense. You know, the motions that they have in place with speed guys getting to the line of scrimmage with a sense of momentum already, incorporating that into the running game. Man, they're having so much fun. And they're doing it in a way we've never seen done before with so much speed. So, yes, I'm right there with you. You talk about this matchup at 1 o'clock in Buffalo. We know both teams clearly are the two top dogs in the division. Both teams could easily win their division, and both teams could easily get to the Super Bowl. So this is a huge game early in the year that could have big-time playoff implications throughout the rest of the way. And get this, though, Zach.
Yeah.
the Bills are the favorites. I think they're laying 3.5, right?
So I like the Dolphins.
We just saw Miami put up 70
one.
Points, and they're coming into a game as the underdog. Think about that.
Let me also ask you this, as Brian McFadden is here with us. You've been on some great defenses. Now, Miami just put up 70 without Jalen Waddle, which is like a crazy thing to say, 70 points just on its own, but especially without Jalen Waddle. If you were a defensive player, how would you try to attack them to slow them down at this point?
The most important thing defensively against the Miami Dolphins that you need to do, you got to be able to put pressure on Tua with four guys. Like, you have to do that. If you can put pressure on Tua with four guys, you have the ability to drop the other guys into coverage and minimize the throwing windows for Tua when he's targeting Tyreek Hill and some of the other pass catchers. And at some point in time, you got to bring pressure. But if you can generate pressure with four guys, that's one thing. Then also, too, manipulating the coverages on the back end, right? When you talk about it, look at what Tua does. He does a great job in reading and already kind of predetermining where to go with the football based on the coverages the guys in the back end are showing him. So what we used to do a lot when we played against some of the best quarterbacks in the game during my career, when the Peyton Mannings of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world, Drew Brees's, you know, guys like that, we used to show them one thing but play something totally different. Because our defensive coordinator at that time, Dick LeBeau, he knew these quarterbacks are too good for you to think you will have success against them showing them your hand. It's no different than playing poker and showing your opponent your hand and thinking you're going to win. It's not going to happen. So you got to find a way to manipulate his eyes, play with his eyes a little bit, show one thing, and then roll into a different coverage because he won't have time to make any adjustments or any audibles. And that's what we're not seeing. That's why we're seeing Tua so comfortable. Number one, he's not getting pressured. Number two, he's already predetermining where to go with the football based on what he's seeing from the secondary guys.
Brian McFadden here with us. Ravens play the Browns this weekend. At the end of the season, how are we talking about Lamar Jackson and how are we talking about Deshaun Watson?
Ooh. So far in 3 weeks of play, I think we will be talking about Lamar Jackson and saying this new offense is going to take time. Because people felt like with the additions, the new offense Todd Monken has brought to Baltimore, people feel like this was going to be just flying around scoring points.
Who are you, Jonathan way. Gannon with those sound effects?
Yeah, you heard me. You heard me.
Gannon.
Hey, but people thought it was going to be like, you know, race cars. Everybody's moving around fast. He's throwing the ball around the yard, not really running the ball a lot. And like, oh, it should be entertaining. But keep it real, Zach. We haven't really seen that, right? We haven't really seen that. So I think that would be something that would be associated with Lamar Jackson. Like, oh, you know what? We thought we would see this, but maybe it's going to take some time. And with Deshaun Watson, I think we would probably walk away saying that Deshaun Watson in Houston is not what we're going to see in Cleveland. Because this is a different offensive mentality. They run the football first in Cleveland. And what I'm seeing with this team, seeing how dominant their defense is, what they're going to do is play great defense and run the football. That's what they're going to do. And that's going to take away opportunities for Deshaun, something that he had the luxury of having at his disposal when he was there in Houston, throwing the football around the yard, making plays. That's not what they're asking him to do. Play smart football, make plays when need be, but we're going to run and we're going to play good defense.
If you were in the Jets locker room, Brian McFadden, and you had all these Super Bowl aspirations with Aaron Rodgers, now Aaron Rodgers is hurt, and everyone knows Zach Wilson isn't the answer, what would your message be this week if you were a leader of the Jets and you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs? Taylor Swift's now going to be in the building at MetLife Stadium per reports. And
We know that for sure, Zach? Is that breaking news? She's going to be in the building for real? Do we know for sure?
That is what I'm seeing on the good old cesspool of Twitter, that there's a lot of reports out there that Taylor Swift is going to be in the building in the swamps of Jersey. I saw that via Jordan Schultz that Taylor Swift will be there. You know, what's the message at this point? This isn't going to be a game. This could be a blowout. We all know the Chiefs are going to kill them.
I mean, you can't necessarily say that because we just saw last week the Arizona Cardinals kick the Dallas Cowboys in the mouth, right? So we can't necessarily say that.
But and that's Cowboys aren't the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right, but you just never know, right?
There's a reason we call them the drama Dallas exactly. Choking Cowboys.
Zach, that's the thing you got to love about the NFL. There's no guarantees. There is no guarantees, right? But in regards to your question, it feels like the season is over for New York, but it's not. There's a lot of ball left to be played. And everything that has happened for the Jets that has been wrong so far can instantly be right if you find a way to win Sunday against the Chiefs.
Not with this quarterback, though. This quarterback can't.
And now that's the thing. Because, you know, when we watch the game, right, Zach, and we see what's going on with Zach Wilson or what's not going on with Zach Wilson, we don't really know who's at fault. We don't really know. That's up to the individuals within the building, in the huddle with him. And at some point in time, if, quote unquote, this is a hypothetical, if Zach is not doing what he's supposed to be doing and not giving this team the best opportunity to win based on what they're asking him to do, you got to find a way to make a change because you don't want to waste a year. It seems like if things don't get right and they don't make any changes, they're just wasting a year. And if you're Robert Saleh, can you afford to waste a year?
I think it all comes down to what Rodgers says, right? At the end of if Rodgers wants him back at the end of the year, I kind of think that Saleh comes back, right?
Oh yeah, I think Robert. I think Aaron Rodgers really likes Robert Saleh. Clearly, Nathaniel Hackett. Clearly, right? So if you want Aaron Rodgers to come back, yeah, that's a great point. I believe Robert Saleh will be there, and Nathaniel Hackett will be there as well.
All right, yeah, I bury the lead here. Last thing with Brian McFadden. How about those Noles, baby?
Yeah. We're just doing what we're supposed to do, man. We're winning the ball games. We're supposed to win the games that's in front of us. That's all we're doing, man, Zach. That's it.
You were a little nervous week by on week. Saturday. You were nervous.
Oh, no question I was nervous because I didn't like how things were happening within the ball game that was not necessarily involved in the play. The referees kind of took the ball game away. I really don't like that. Let the kids play ball, right? There were some missed opportunities, missed calls that didn't go in our favor. And I just felt like the referees were kind of being one-sided with how they were officiating the ball game. But at the end of the day, the pros that I talked to you about weeks ago stood up for us and made big-time pro-like plays. And remember, I talked to you before the season. I said, man, we're going to do something special this year because we have pros on our team. We have guys that will for sure play on Sunday. And when you have that, in college football, along with good coaching and good quarterback play, you're going to win games. This past Saturday, it was easy to see we had more pros than Clemson.
And that all goes back to Dabo Sweeney doing the opposite of Mike Norvell, embracing NIL and embracing the transfer portal. Mike Norvell gets it. Dabo Sweeney right now in the year of 2023 doesn't get it. And even in a game that he had pretty much won, he projectile vomited in the final 2 minutes, and I loved it because I can't stand the arrogance now of Dabo Sweeney.
Hey, well, I know you felt super good. It felt like you were a Florida State Noles watching Clemson lose to the Noles on Saturday, so I know you were jumping for joy.
Did you see my video after the game of the Dabo?
No, you got to send it to me. I didn't see it.
Anyway, Brian McFadden, I appreciate the time as always. Keep on kicking ass with the podcast and also with CBS Sports HQ. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Zach.